beyond good, beyond evil, beyond your wildest imagination.
Chosen you. Take it. You are now one of the protectors of the universe.
Hello and welcome again to Animation Aficionados Crossing Over with Tooncast Beyond. We are still continuing our look through the DC animated original movies. I am your host, Ben, and we're joined by my co-host, TV's Mr. Neil.
In blackest day, in brightest night, watermelon, cantaloupe, yada yada, a superstitious and cowardly lot, with liberty and justice for all.
And we have with us again the host of Tooncast Beyond, WTFG one mic.
That's not. Someone tried to get that, trending or catching on at one point about a year or so ago. That's not happening.
You want me to say it again?
Do what?
You want me to say it again or do it? We're just going to keep going.
Just keep going.
Okay. I wanted to see if you actually caught that, and he did.
No, I caught it. That's why I said that's not going to catch on, because someone tried to get it to catch, like WTF, TFG on Mike, somebody tried to get it to catch on about a year or so ago.
That was Neil.
And it, no, it wasn't.
It was not me.
I would have known
about
it
a year ago.
You said it like 8 months ago, you said it in a comment.
Yeah, but that was 8 months ago, not a year.
Yeah, no. This was, somebody on Twitter was trying to figure out what TFG2 Mike's personality would be like, and they had said WTF TFG1 Mike. So this was a while ago. This was before Neil and I had our Transformers fan wars here. But yes, we're here to talk about superheroes and the Green Lantern Corps. And why is Elliot Stabler voicing Hal Jordan?
Because he actually did a damn good job of doing it.
He did. I'll give him that.
Look, all he needs is a hairpiece. He could be a live action Hal as well. I love the guy, but you know, Neil Patrick Baldwin has not been kind to the man.
It's funny. I first found out about this simply because I am a Law and Order fan, and because I've always kept up with like whatever the next thing is. And as I said, I believe it was last episode, or it might have been episode 4, where I usually find the special behind-the-scenes features on, because they'll usually post them on YouTube about a month before the movie even gets released, like behind-the-voices stuff or whatever else. And I find it absolutely hilarious that Elliot Stabler from Law & Order Special Victims Unit, Chris Maloney, is Hal Jordan Green Lantern, and Victor Garber, Jack Bristow from Alias, is Sinestro. This is awesome.
what I love about this movie is, and something I mentioned in the pre-show, is the plot is at the basics extremely similar to the Ryan Reynolds piece of shit. And a little note is the Ryan Reynolds piece of shit is number 11 in the top movies that have lost the most money. It beat Final Fantasy The Spirits Within in losing the most money.
Wow. And Stealth, yet nothing can beat Cutthroat Island.
No, yes. Nothing.
Yeah, the one that's after Green Lantern is Stealth.
Wow.
So, yeah, just check it out on Wikipedia, IMDb. They both have the same list. Yeah, Green Lantern, the Ryan Reynolds movie, is number 11 in losing the most money.
Yeah. This one, I didn't actually see this when it first came out. I saw it when it hit on demand cable, and for me, this movie goes way too fast. Something I didn't get to mention, something I forgot to mention about Justice League New Frontier. New Frontier went, for me, it felt like it you know, you blinked and it was over. This one, like, I watched the whole movie and I was like, wait, I just started this. How can it be over already? I don't know if it was the fact that it was good, because I don't know if it was the fact that I was enjoying it, or if it was the fact that it just went by too fast.
I think it's because you were enjoying it, because sometimes when I watch an animated movie more than once, I try to watch it twice in as many days.
Right.
And the second time, I usually skip around a little bit. This is one of the few ones I don't skip around, because I'm like, should I skip around? No, I just want to keep watching. And I think that's part of what that's part of what kept me. And I love the animation style in this. I think this is a perfect amount of detail with simplification for a feature movie animation style that, you know, this is something that Neil and I have talked about in the past, where, you know, some of the newer DC animated stuff looks, you know, has very plain faces now.
Yeah, and this one was very well, the faces are very well articulated and drawn well.
Expressive.
About the length, though, this is a cool 80 minutes, so this is right in the range that I like. But strangely enough, it's the same length as Wizards, and Wizards feels like it's about 2 hours long. Yeah, this one just kind of breezes by. It's amazing how when you have a compelling story, it just blows right by.
And like I said, the fact that this is pretty much the same exact story as the Ron Reynolds piece of shit, you know, minus some key details, but all the elements are pretty much the same. It just tells you what happens when you have a good writer versus a bad writer. When you have Geoff Johns sticking his nose in versus Geoff Johns not sticking his nose in. It's where you have just the yellow power battery versus having the yellow goddamn fear monster. And
the only thing I didn't really care for on this movie, and this is a trend for me in all future Green Lantern stuff so far at this point, I didn't like the design on Kilowog at all.
Yeah.
His was a little clunky, but I got to say that one thing that really threw me is, you know, the character Boudica. If people have actually read the comics, Boudica is like her namesake. It's obviously she's not really named after the Britann warrior queen, but the writers who created the character based her off that. And see, you expect a really harsh face with the character Boudica, people who read the comics would, but they gave her such a gentle face, and her voice actress isn't what you expect. I mean, to give reference, every other voice actress who voiced Boudica wasn't Trisha Helfer. It was Gray.
Gray Delisle. Yeah.
Yeah. So yeah. What does that tell you?
Neil, what about you for this movie as far as your just initial thoughts?
Well, what I liked about it was that they got the origin story out of the way really quickly, because I'm getting really sick and tired of, like, every movie franchise based on a comic book having to retell the origin story over and over and over. And it seems like Green Lantern is very prone to this, because every time some new series or movie comes along that introduces the Green Lantern, we have to go through the whole alien thing.
3 minutes is done.
Yeah, it's over in three. It's over before the opening credits.
Yeah.
One thing I have to say is they really sentied up that costuming
transformation. Yeah, but, you know, I don't mind.
All they needed was the pink bubble background and outlining his body and.
No.
but like I said, what I like about it is it starts. Hal is already doing the test flight, and he's saying some things that Carol Ferris isn't liking him saying.
Yes,
you get a feel of Hal's character. You know, he's a hotshot pilot, and him and Carol had a relationship that she doesn't want people to know too much about, without him being an asshole or Ryan Reynolds.
Right. And I think because this movie happened before the Ryan Reynolds atrocity really was buzzing around, I mean, really, the movie for comparison to the Ryan Reynolds film is Emerald Knights, and Emerald Knights is a hell of a lot better. But for this one, I think where they were going from is we need to tell an original Green Lantern story that isn't the origin of Hal Jordan, because for the DC Universe animated movies, we just had the origin of Hal Jordan in New Frontier, even though this is a completely different film from that. Yeah. But because it's from the same people that did the other film, not the but like Bruce Timm and, you know, all those guys, you know, they wanted to do something just to tell an actual story rather, you know, people know the origin at this point.
Yeah, that's the thing about the origin story is that even if it's a different continuity, all these timelines all have the same vestiges of what the origin story basically is. So right. We get it already. We know that Batman's parents got gunned down in an alley. We don't need to have this retold every single time. So, yeah, thank you, DC, for not spending a lot of time in the origin.
And what I also like is, you know, like I said, this is more space opera, less soap opera. So I really love the space opera-y bits because the whole idea is that there's this whole universe of aliens and power structures and governments that we aren't even a speck to. That's what I love, that they just barely touch at. But the fact that they just sort of open the veil a little bit is what I like about it. And especially I like the whole, like I said, I just love the character of Boudica in this, even though, spoiler alert, yes, she is a bad guy in this. But like I said, it really throws you because, number one, they made the Boudica so much gentler than what you're expecting if you read the comics. So that's number one, that when it throws you. And then when all of a sudden when she does turn coat, you know, it just sort of hits you that much harder. And that was an awesome fight.
They kind of had to do that because otherwise you would have been – see, what I was afraid of was that it was just going to be like a waiting game to see when Sinestro was going to turn, because we all know that Sinestro is the bad guy.
Well, his name has Sinister written all over it.
I know. It's almost as bad as having a villain called Darth Sidious. I mean,
or Mr. Sinister.
Or yeah. Dr. Doom.
I mean, you know he's the bad guy from the very beginning. And so there was that curve in there that kept you interested. It was like, oh my god. You know, when she suddenly blasts Kilowog.
Yeah.
And then he blasts her back and called her a poozer.
To talk about the voice cast, I just can't get JLU Dennis Haysbert's Kilowog out of my head.
Michael Madsen did a hell of a job.
He did do a hell of a job. I'm not going to deny that. He did do a hell of a job. But like when it comes to like stuff like Poozer and all that, I just can't get Haysbert's version out of my head.
One thing that bugs me, though, is this is a comics continuity guy here. Yeah, you know, yes, they actually did, like, in the second half of the movie, they really pushed Arisia hard. And no, she's underage. No, stop it. and well, you know what? This movie's just great. I mean, it the animation is beautiful. The fights are fantastic. I especially liked. Well, you know, this movie is definitely. Is this the movie a PG-13, Mike?
Yes, they're all PG-13.
Yeah, because the orgasm ball scene is, yeah. Yeah, I don't know how you can slip that past the PG.
Yeah, all of the DC movies are PG-13.
I just want to get that out of the way because, yeah, I don't think the orgasm ball would pass by 13.
And you got to think, though, and I will always mention this whenever we talk about superheroes and Bruce Timm and his crew. Bruce Timm and his people have been pushing the censors for years at this point.
Yes, they have.
I mean, they know how to push buttons without actually pushing buttons.
And the swearing was it wasn't overt, but it was noticeable that they were the language was like a lot more adult in this than it would have been prior.
Yeah.
Yeah, and how'd you guys feel about Chip?
Chip?
Guy in the wheelchair?
No.
Oh, you mean the squirrel guy?
Yeah, it's a squirrel Green Lantern. Chip.
I don't know. I kind of liked him.
Put him in a wheelchair and it'd be cool.
As long as you have courage.
Well, like I said,
God, how do we come back from
with,
that?
With Chip, I think this is one of the few times that the Scrappy isn't annoying.
Well, it's because he didn't take over every single scene. He was just there, and he had a couple lines, and was
he was kind of funny. Versus,
yeah.
Versus being, let me at him, let me at him, puppy power. Do-do-do-do-do. And what I love is,
and he wasn't in a wheelchair.
What I love is, you know, one of the Guardians' name is Appa Aliapsa. They actually made a point to pronounce that because I've been reading the comics for years. I'm like, how would they pronounce Appa Aliapsa? It's like,
yeah.
And I love how it's, you know, Larry Drake is Gaunt that actually says Appa Aliapsa, but he says it really fast. I'm like, how long was Larry Drake practicing that? And of course, Kandra Rowe, played by Kurtwood Smith.
Yeah.
There to call the bunch of them dumbasses.
Yep.
Oh yeah.
Which, it's a callback to Justice League because Kurtwood actually voiced the prosecutor in
Blackest Night.
You want to fly, Bobby?
And the one thing this is kind of like on a tangent at this point because I mentioned the Justice League episode. I never noticed it before until a couple of years ago. Superman the Animated Series, the Kyle Rayner episode, In Brightest Day, jump to Justice League in Blackest Night.
And there is no JLU, no evil shall take my side.
Yes. This movie was really weird. It wasn't weird. It was really good. It was... I think it was good that they cast Christopher Maloney as Hal simply because it's Elliot Stabler on a grand scale. I mean,
what I love is there's a scene where he's being questioned by the Lanterns and he's going, "Oh yeah, my dad's a cop. He let me hear out the siren." I'm like, "Wow!" I just love how Hal is so natural in this environment, just like, "Oh yeah,
yeah." He adapts to it very quickly.
I don't mind when someone adapts to new powers or new things very quickly. What I do mind is, you know, the old Power Ranger adage where as soon as they jump into a new Zord, they immediately know what the hell they're doing. That's what really pisses me off about when someone gets a new power. But no, he adapted very, very quickly in this. And as I said before, Victor Garber as Sinestro, I mean, that's some of the best voice casting ever at this point.
Well, one of my favorite scenes is how Hal destroyed the yellow power battery.
Yeah.
I mean, he wasn't in no way subtle.
Oh, no.
You know, any other Green Lantern would try something subtle, but no, Hal Jordan, no, he grabs two moons and he just sort of squishes.
I mean, I really don't know. I mean, you know, I would say that at this point in the history of the DC Universe movies, I would say probably New Frontier, Wonder Woman, and this are the three best at this point.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Because let's face it, Doomsday and Gotham Knight, they just need to be forgotten.
Gotham Knight especially.
Yeah, that was a travesty.
That was some dark Gotham Knight.
That is so funny. What else do we want to say about this one?
Get it?
Yeah, get it.
Yes, get it, exactly. I guess we could go into the what it made. First Flight made $6,180,635, and it sold 380,611 units.
So it actually got it actually made money versus the Ryan Reynolds piece of crap.
Yes.
Take that, Jeff Johns. No one wants a goddamn yellow fear monster.
Uh,
Neil, this is the part where you throw in the Spada's "fuck you."
Oh, I gotta go find that.
I have it saved somewhere.
Okay, you're gonna have to donate that to me.
Oh, I will, because that was for people who don't know. Me and Neil were on the This Week in Geek Green Lantern movie special.
Yes.
And Spada walked out halfway through the movie, so he didn't know how the Ryan Reynolds Green Lantern movie ended. And for the people who are listening that don't know how it ended, Hal Jordan, Ryan Reynolds, was racing towards the sun with the goddamn Yellow Fear monster following him, and he made the construct of two fighter jets basically acting as the rockets in the Wile E. Coyote really sharp turn move. And because Parallax is bigger, he couldn't quite make the turn, and that's what happened.
Oh, Lord. Yeah. And he said, "Fuck you!"
Actually, he stuttered for 5 minutes first.
Yeah, he did. That's because some stuff breaks our brains. I mean, you know, it just...
See, I would rather have two moons crushing a yellow power battery over that. Because, that's actually kind of badass versus the cosmic entity not being able to turn.
Yeah. Now, a lot of these movies, or some of them, most of them, have soundtracks to them or have soundtrack CD releases to them. What did you guys think of the music overall in the movie, as far as whether it be background or whether it be the main title or anything like that? Did you guys notice the music at all?
Oh, you know what? I really wasn't paying attention to it. How about you, Ben?
Not really.
Sorry.
Wow, short episode.
But okay. It's a good movie. It really is. It's,
yes.
This is asked to be one of my favorite versions of Hal Jordan I've seen, because, like I said, I always see Hal as a flawed hero, but he, in the end, he makes the decision to be a hero nonetheless. Versus, Hal has to make mistakes. Hal's not perfect. Hal's not without sin. Hal has sinned.
So basically what you're saying is he's not Jesus.
I'm saying fuck you, Geoff Johns.
Okay. So for the IGN replacement crew, 0-4, I forget what the zero was. I have to go back and listen to Gotham Knight now.
It's find someone who owns the movie and punch them in the mouth.
Ben, what do you give First Flight?
I give First Flight a 4.
Neil?
I'll give it a 4 as well.
I will as well. So we, let's see, the home media releases, obviously, single disc, Blu-ray, 2-disc. The special features include, on the double disc, press release for production featurettes, commentary, preview of Superman, Batman, Public Enemies, trailers of the DC Universe features, digital copy download, of course, and 2 episodes of Justice League picked by Bruce Timm. I gotta go get this DVD right now. I forgot this had the Loon Turn on it.
See, Bruce Timm knows how to poke fun at himself.
I love the Green Loon Turn, the Duck Dodgers episode.
So how come it's okay for Kevin Smith to be in one cartoon you like, but not okay to be in another?
Wait, which one is he in that I didn't like?
He was in Superman Doomsday.
Doomsday? Because it wasn't really that big of a role. He was on screen for, 5 seconds?
But he was Kevin Smith playing Kevin Smith.
Okay. Doomsday is so bad.
I know. I thought that was
save that movie.
I know, but I thought that Kevin Smith was like that little wedge of lemon, that little bit of acidity to cut through.
It is, but me going back and watching Doomsday was just torture, and not even the second or third time that I've seen the movie in since it came out, not even Kevin Smith could have saved it for me at that point. It's not a slight against Kevin, it's a slight against that film, because that shouldn't even be called a film. So we on Tooncast Beyond are going to take a break. You're going to hear some
wacky promos. Awesome,
quirky, weird, sadistic ads, and we will be back after this.
Dreamcast will be back after these messages.
The Webcast Beacon Network has been covering and promoting creativity and the creative process since 2007, starting with the Webcomic Beacon, a topical webcomics podcast with a jovial bunch of misfits like your local morning radio show. Also, the Webcomic Beacon Newscast recaps, reviews, and discussions of community and industry news relative to comic creators, especially of digital distribution. Also, the Tropecast, the ever-tangential discussion of literary and visual memes. And finally, Web Fiction World. Before webcomics, there was independent and self-published web-release written fiction and literature. Find this all at webcastbeacon.com. Be sure to grab a master RSS feed or master iTunes feed and not miss a thing.
Movie Week in Review is the Geekcast Radio Network's weekly movie podcast. Steve and Mike take a look back on their favorite films and give you their thoughts. They also bring co-hosts at times. If you are a movie buff, listen to MWire only on GeekCastRadio.com.
Hey, I'm Gary.
I'm Greg.
I'm Chuck.
And I'm Justin.
Join the four of us every week on the internet's number one G.I. Joe podcast, What's on Joe Mind? That's right. It's Joe news, reviews, and special guests like you've never heard them before delivered right to your MP3 player.
Think of it as Joe Talk meets Sports Talk. And we make fun of Chuck.
Right. Hey.
We're just kidding, Chuck. Kinda.
Yeah. Sometimes Chuck makes fun of himself.
Right, hey!
It's What's on Joe Mind every week on the Geekcast Radio Network, InsidePulse.com, Stitcher Smart Radio, and iTunes. Download and listen today.
Can I say something about Transformers?
No!
Tooncast is dedicated to the cartoons we grew up with. 100 episodes and more make up one of the GCRN's most popular podcasts. Join hosts TFG1 Mike, Optimus Solo, Terror the Rising Star, and tons of guest hosts. We also have voice actor and writer interviews. Tune in to Tooncast as we look back on the cartoons that defined us as geeks. You can find Tooncast on iTunes and the web at www.geekcastradio.com. Tune in.
You can now hear the Geekcast Radio Network while on the go with Stitcher Smart Radio. Stitcher is a free news and talk mobile app available for your smartphone. And when you download Stitcher to hear Geekcast Radio, you'll have a chance to win money. Downloading is quick and easy. Just find Stitcher in the App Store. During registration, hit the promo code box and enter Geekcast Radio, all one word, to get automatically entered to win $100. The latest episodes of the shows will be waiting for you in your favorites. You'll get access to lots of other amazing shows, too. Always available to you on demand, no syncing. It's Stitcher Smart Radio. Don't forget to enter promo code Geekcast Radio when you register.
Yes, thank you, Bubbles, for welcoming us back to the Tooncast Beyond Animation Aficionados crossover. All right, guys. Neil, final thoughts on First Flight.
Excellent film. It was the best episode of Duck Dodgers I've ever seen. Oh, wait. But seriously, yeah. I don't know. I don't have any final thoughts, really, because I think I said everything that needed to be said.
Yeah.
So go buy it. God damn it.
Yeah, I mean, for a solid standalone Green Lantern project, this knocked it out of the park for me, even though I felt it was... Because really, for me, when I said earlier that I felt it went... Like, it just went by like that, it was mainly like... It was kind of like, wait, that's the end? It's over? I want more. That's really what my reaction was when I first watched it. What about you, Ben?
I would rather be wanting more than wanting less.
Right. Well,
I'd rather be wanting Stabler over wanting Wilder.
And see, the other thing was when they first announced the cast for this, I was like, really? Because really what I wanted, and I probably never will get this unless he agrees to do it again.
Nathan Fillion?
No. I wanted Boreanaz again. As Hal, because I loved him as Hal in New Frontier.
Well, they pick good Hals. It's they're not really shallow Hals.
Wow, a Jack Black joke, lovely.
You know, Jack Black was almost Green Lantern.
It would have been an improvement over Ryan Reynolds.
No, I read the script.
No, I'm saying putting Jack Black in the role would have been better than Ryan Reynolds.
I'm going to tell you the story about the Jack Black Green Lantern movie, and then I'll let Les move on, because I don't think you heard the story before, Mike.
I don't know. I don't think so, but I'm betting my brain is about to break.
Jack Black gets the Green Lantern ring, and throughout the whole movie in the script, he totally fucks everything up until finally there's this yellow comet hanging towards the Earth, and he can't touch the comet because it's yellow. So he uses the Green Lantern ring to move the Earth out of the way, but that causes all these devastating, horrible things on the planet, and he can't. And then he decides, I can't reverse time because I'm Green Lantern, but I can create a green Superman with my ring, and the green Superman can reverse time and fix everything. And that's what happens, and then Jack Black's Green Lantern character decides, oh, since I have the Green Superman, I'll let him do everything, I'll just goof off now.
And just to be clear, he got the idea from watching Superman 2.
That's what I was just going to say. So that would have been a Superman 2 animated series, or an animated movie. Wow.
No, this was a live-action movie.
Oh, okay.
The thing is this, you hear this and you hear that was canceled for the Ryan Reynolds one, that makes you almost think.
Yeah, kind of does.
It makes you think, would I have really wanted the Jack Black one instead? It might have become a cult classic.
Kind of like Mortal Kombat Annihilation.
Yeah.
Thank you for joining us here on the Tooncast Beyond Animation Aficionados Crossover. There are several ways to get in contact with us to leave feedback for the show. You can visit both the websites, geekcastradio.com and animationaficionados.com. Comment on each of our posts. You can leave the show's feedback in iTunes. Again, for Tooncast Beyond listeners, I'm sorry. iTunes is just not agreeing with us. So I have to actually email them directly and say, why the hell isn't this getting added to iTunes?
You're holding it wrong.
You're evil. Follow us on Twitter. The show name there is Tooncast Beyond. And is it A Aficionados, Ben?
Yes.
Okay. Mine is TFG and Mike. Ben protects his Twitter like the CIA protects the knock list, and Neil just doesn't care. Become a fan on Facebook. Go to facebook.com/geekcast or radio network. And is it facebook.com/animationaficionados?
Yep.
Actually, I don't think we have that.
Well, you should get it. You have over 25 fans. You can get yourself a name for your page. Call the voicemail line. Tell us the show you're leaving a message for and your name. 502-526-5821. We hope you enjoyed this episode of Tooncast Beyond and Animation Aficionados, and wish you will join us next time when we will be continuing the DC Universe animated movie spotlight with Superman, Batman, Public Enemies.
Oh, boy.
Let the rage begin, because we know Ben doesn't like that movie, but Steve Megatron will be joining us from that episode until the end of the spotlight. For now, I am TFG on mic with
TV's Mr. Neil.
And Ben the host.
Thank you for listening. Until next time.
Good night.
Goodbye.